In this solo episode, I delve into multimodal AI, particularly its ability for a more holistic understanding and to provide a richer interaction experience. To demonstrate the potential of multimodal, I go through a hypothetical example of ChatCat, an AI that helps owners understand their cats. I discuss Google's approach to multimodal and suggested OpenAI did not yet have this capability. That was so 2 weeks ago, because last week, OpenAI took a big leap into multimodality with the launch of GPT-4o. That's GPT-4 with a lowercase o. This model, which currently drives ChatGPT, now supports real-time voice and vision, marking a significant leap forward. So whenever I mention multimodal, remember it now encompasses both Google and OpenAI's technology. Please enjoy this episode. Welcome to the Super Prompt Podcast. I'm your host, Tony Wan. Join me as we dive deep into the world of generative AI with leading engineers and business pioneers. Each episode deepens our understanding of foundational technologies, explores the startup ecosystem, and analyzes the latest breakthroughs. Whether you're a technologist, product manager, executive, or entrepreneur, together, let's chart the evolving landscape of generative AI. Google has a long history with AI. Their scientists authored many of the seminal papers on generative AI upon which the industry's models are based. But recently, they got into the game in a big way with the announcement of Gemini, the brand they're using for their family of AI models. Gemini is built from the ground up as multimodal, meaning it operates natively across text, code, audio, image, and video. How big a deal is this? That the multimodal capability of Gemini is largely a promise and not yet available. In fact, Google got into a bit of PR trouble for releasing a marketing video showcasing fully multimodal use cases that were fabricated. So at the moment, true multimodality is a bit of a thought exercise. Still, it's a useful exploration because Google's multimodal approach stands in contrast to OpenAI's approach, who has been developing and releasing modality-specific models. For example, GPT for text generation, DALL-E for image generation, and most recently, OpenAI's Sora for video generation. There are very good reasons why a startup like OpenAI adopted its modality-specific approach. It's a more efficient use of resources, you can get to market faster. Another benefit of a modality-specific approach is that you can swap in new improved models as they become available. For example, if there's a breakthrough in image analysis or voice recognition, you could upgrade that specific component without needing to overhaul the entire multimodal system. But in the long run, the need to continuously synchronize separate models to ensure cohesive content generation could be inefficient and costly. That's where a multimodal model comes in. It's a more elegant architecture, but more importantly, multimodal holds the promise of an AI that has a more holistic understanding by integrating multiple types of data. This is a key point that differentiates it from modality-specific AI systems, which may interpret isolated data types without the same level of context. To showcase this, let's pretend we're building an AI to solve this global dilemma, understanding what our cats are trying to tell us. Let's call this AI ChatCat, the AI for interspecies human-cat communication. If our ChatCat model is multimodal, it could process audio, video, and textual data about our cat simultaneously. For example, it could correlate a cat's specific meow type, that's meow like an M-E-O-W type, with its body language to determine if the cat is scared, playful, irritated, secretly plotting your overthrow, or perhaps simply being lazy. While a multimodal approach to ChatCat offers significant benefits, there are hurdles to overcome for this hypothetical example and all multimodal examples. The challenges are complexity, computational power, and data bottlenecks. So let's go into each of those in a little bit of detail, starting with complexity. Building and training these models is inherently more complex than single modality models. For that reason, that's why companies like OpenAI went down the single modality route, or I should say modality specific, because even though OpenAI focuses on particular modalities like image generation, of course, you're interacting with that model in a multimodal way because you're using text to prompt it to generate image. So, yeah, it's not completely modality specific, but it's more modality specific than something built up to be completely multimodal like the approach Gemini is taking. Computational power, multimodal processing demands significant resources. This is due to the fact that it needs to process and correlate many different types of data streams, which can be computationally expensive. But these challenges are offset by the potential for richer, more nuanced insights. The biggest challenge to multimodal is obtaining a massive data set that includes labeled examples across multiple modalities, audio, visual, textual, synchronized for contextual understanding. This is time-consuming and expensive. For example, an ideal data set for our cat AI example might include a video of a cat accompanied by time-stamped annotations describing key actions and behaviors, synchronized audio tracks highlighting purrs, meows, or other sounds annotated with emotional context, structured text descriptions providing background on the cat's breed, age, and typical behaviors, and images extracted from the video annotated with labels for breed and specific postures. This would be an example of a highly curated dataset ideal for the example I gave. Real-world multimodal datasets would be messier and more limited, so you can see the scale of the challenge. But if anyone can solve the data challenge, Google can. In addition to publicly available data, Google possesses a vast amount of proprietary data, search queries, and of course, a bazillion cat videos uploaded to YouTube. While this data may be raw, it could offer a rich source for curating and labeling. Moving beyond ChatCat, here are three other use cases where multimodal could shine. E-learning. A multimodal AI could teach any academic subject, providing text explanations and switching between videos or generating diagrams when necessary. Students could interact with the AI with texts and words, audio, or even diagrams. Another use case would be customer support. Think about having an AI that could guide you to change the spark plugs in your car. You could send it photos and videos, and the AI would respond with text explanations, photos, and videos. Another use case would be in the advertising. Let's say you're an advertising agency who wants to create a campaign for a new deodorant. Imagine producing assets for the entire campaign, images, video clips, a catchy jingle, and a persuasive script from a single high-level concept. And furthermore, maintaining the emotional tone implied in the writing across all these different mediums, images, video clips, the jingle, and the script. While initial development costs for multimodal are higher due to complexity and data requirements, it offers potential long-term efficiencies by reducing the need to maintain and communicate between multiple specialized systems. And more importantly, its understanding of any given topic could be more holistic. Multimodal is a long game. And with their deep AI talent, access to data, and their deep pockets, Google can afford to play the long game. But is it a winning strategy? Time will tell. Thanks for listening to this episode. Thanks for listening to SuperPrompt, the podcast dedicated to generative AI. For more, visit us on the web at superprompt.fm. Enjoy the episode? Drop us a 5-star review. I'm Tony Wan. See you next week.